In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord.
What child is this? Yes, yes, that is the question. That has always been the question. What child is this? That single question was the driving force behind our lengthy journey. We had to figure out what child this is. And I know. My friends, we have been called wise by many of the people we encountered along our journey. If even for a brief moment, I hesitate to give much credence to their judgment. But it is known, or it should be known, that knowledge is acquired by keeping one's eyes open and mouth shut. So, may I suggest that you keep your mouths closed and your ears open, and I will, to the best of my ability, answer your question as clear as I can. One, we did not stumble upon this child. No, we found a needle in a haystack. And how did we find this needle? We followed the star. I know, to many, that would be considered a fool's errand, but we are no fools. No, that star was moved by some unseen force. And who moves stars but God? Two, we encountered that corrupt king. That king wanted us to find the child so that he could worship the child. My friends, do kings worship babies? No. Kings defend their thrones. And that king, that Herod, is a ruthless and cruel despot. It does not take a wise man to discern that. And that king felt that this child was a threat. And mark my words, that child is a threat to all who are cruel and ruthless. And three, I don't have words for three. My entire life I have searched And yet it was always just beyond the horizon of my knowing. Until, in an instant, I crossed a threshold, and there it was. That father, that mother, that star, the child. It was all there. All my searching, all my studying, it was all right there. All in that child. How could I not worship him? I need search no more.
You pray with me. Lord, we come this morning to worship you. You are what we are searching for. Open our ears and our hearts to what you would want to speak to us this morning, that we would indeed draw near and worship you. In your name, Jesus, amen. According to the text in Matthew, the wise men came from the east. Most likely, they were Gentiles from Arabia. For Matthew, a Jewish Christian living in the Holy Land, from the east would be a term that referred to the places on the east side of the Jordan River. This would include such places in modern day as, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Kuwait, Iraq, Jordan. And coming from this area, they would have traveled approximately 900 miles. It would have taken several months from the time that they first saw the star until they arrived and saw Jesus. When we consider the story of these wise men, we tend to focus on their arrival and the gifts that they brought. But what about the journey? Advent is a time of preparation, a journey of being ready for the coming of Jesus. The journey of these wise men is important as we ponder, what child is this? And then consider our response today. Matthew uses the term magi to describe these men. Magi were tended to be leading figures in the religious court life of their country. They used astrology, wisdom, and magic to try to understand the present and future events. In these eastern countries, they had developed a study of the stars and the planets. And they believed that the whole world was interconnected, that it was all one piece. And when something important happened on Earth, you could expect to see it reflected in the heavens. The reverse, then, was also true. If something remarkable was seen among the stars and planets, that indicated a remarkable event on Earth. So when these wise men from the east saw the star in the sky, they took it as a sign that something significant had happened on Earth. These wise men had also been exposed to Old Testament prophecies. 2 weeks ago, if you recall, we looked at the life of David. We did look at David a while ago. We looked at Daniel. Daniel was a man who lived in exile, living his whole life with a commitment to God. And as he prayed and listened, God used him to proclaim truth and to prophesy. These prophecies were told and retold by faithful Jews. And although many of the Jews had returned back to Palestine after the exile, there was a lot that still remained there in the East, having had families and having made a life for themselves there in that land. And so throughout the centuries, the stories of the coming Messiah were passed on to future generations. It's interesting to consider how these Jews who were sent into exile in Babylon under the sovereign leadership of God nearly 6 centuries before the birth of Christ would be the mouthpiece of the story of the coming of the Messiah. These wise men, through the Jewish community in their homeland, had heard all the stories of the prophecies concerning the coming Messiah. They would have been familiar with the prophecy from Numbers 24:17. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. In Revelation, Jesus refers to himself in similar language, saying, "I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star." The heavens declare Jesus' advent with a star in the sky. There's a lot of speculation about that star. You know, whether it was a supernova or Halley's Comet, a brilliant conjunction of planets, or even recently read possibility of an angel. Whatever it was an act of God that heralded Jesus to the world, informing them of the fulfillment of prophecy. The Magi, seeing the star, made the preparations to then head out on this long journey. These Gentile men of means, power, wealth, and intellect left their busy lives and traveled a long distance to worship and to pay homage to this newborn king. Isaiah 61:6 says, "Arise, Jerusalem, let your light shine for all to see, for the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance. Look and see, for everyone is coming home. Your sons are coming from distant lands. Your little daughters will be carried home. Your eyes will shine and your heart will thrill with joy. For merchants from around the world will come to you. They will bring you the wealth of many lands. Vast caravans of camels will converge on you. The camels of Midian and Ephah. The people of Sheba will bring gold and frankincense and will come worshiping the Lord." As they journeyed toward Jerusalem, they had been inquiring all along the way where the king of the Jews had been born. Herod hears this, and he's quite disturbed. Herod was probably familiar with the star symbolism, so he doesn't challenge the Magi about the star, but rather he asks when it was that it appeared. Herod was fearful of an attack from the east. He knew that he was not the rightful heir to the Davidic kingdom. And so he built a series of fortresses all along the eastern border. And you've probably heard of some of these, like Masada and Herodium. Most likely, the Magi didn't travel alone. We tend to picture, you know, just being the three of them. But the reality is there was probably a lot larger number, having attendants and guards that would have been there for that long journey. Herod would have quickly jumped to thinking that invading forces from the east were joining forces with Israel to oust him. After they leave Herod, the star reappears, guiding them to the place where Jesus was, in Bethlehem. As they followed the star, the wise men were fulfilling the promise that Jeremiah 29:13 records, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Eventually, they found their way to Jesus and were overwhelmed in his presence. The one whom they had been seeking for so long on this journey, the Magi, their goal was to find the one who was born King of the Jews. And their purpose is accomplished as they bowed down and worshiped him. These Gentile wise men worshiped this Jewish King of Kings, who was promised to be the Savior of the whole world. In response to the question, "What child is this?" the child in the manger is the Messiah, the King of Jews and Gentiles alike. He is the one who provides the hope of salvation for the entire world. We learn from this story that he is King, but not just King of the Jews, but King over all. He came for all people. Luke's gospel records the same truth with the words of Simeon, who also saw Jesus shortly after he was born. Simeon said, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." The wise men were the first Gentiles to worship Jesus, but they would not be the last. Jesus is the child who is born to be worshipped by all people, from all nations, for all time. Jesus came to seek and to save all of humankind, not just the Jewish people, but for the Gentile Arabs, offering good news of healing, hope, and salvation. For many of the wonderful Christmas hymns we sing, or other hymns too, there's a lot more verses that have been written. We often don't see or hear many of them, but it's unfortunate because some of them contain some great truth. Angels from the Realms of Glory is one of those. And it has a verse that says, "Though an infant now we view him, he shall fill his father's throne. Gather all nations to him. Every knee shall then bow down." Jesus comes for all. And even in a lowly manger, he is King. King of kings and Lord of lords. The ruler of a new kingdom, which extends far beyond the borders of Israel. The idea of these wise men being kings, as we sang in that song, was noted as early as the 3rd century, and probably because of what we read in Psalm 72:10-11. "The western kings of Tarshish and other distant lands will bring him tribute. The eastern kings of Sheba and Seba will bring him gifts. All kings will bow before him, and all nations will serve him." Jesus is the one who is worthy of worship from all, offering salvation for everyone. John 1:12 tells us, "To all who believe him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." The purpose of the Magi's visit was to worship this king. And as they come and worship, they offer gifts. When approaching royalty or persons of high status, gifts were often brought to demonstrate respect and reverence. Now, if you grew up in Eastern Europe, how many of you did besides André? Anybody? Well, okay. Well, you know that some of you may know the story that December 6th is actually the day when children receive gifts. And this is done in honor of the 4th century bishop, the actual St. Nicholas. And the story goes that the bishop was born into a very wealthy aristocratic family. And when he received his inheritance, he took to heart the words of Jesus, "Go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven." And legend has it that in response to God's grace, this is what he did. That he gave his wealth not only to the poor, but uniquely to poor children, especially young girls who would have otherwise experienced lives of destitution and exploitation. So how did we go from celebrating the generosity of St. Nicholas on December 6th to what we do now on Christmas Day? Well, the answer seems to rest with Martin Luther, one of the initiators of the Reformation. And if you remember, a while ago, we celebrated the 500th anniversary. Luther found that the adoration of saints to be very unhelpful and as a distraction to proper worship of Christ alone. So he sought to reject the popular tradition of exchanging gifts on this feast day of St. Nicholas to the feast of Christkind, the Christ child. Now, what we know is Christmas. In some ways, well, it probably wasn't a bad idea. Yet, we should focus our attention on the work of Christ and not on what the works of what other people do. But his decision really didn't end up being a helpful one. First, instead of turning our attention to the great gift giver himself, Jesus Christ, gift giving in the form of major consumerism has really taken over this special day. I think Luther would be appalled to see what has now become of Christmas. And secondly, we lost the true inspirational story of the real Saint Nicholas, whose retelling may inspire us as an example to use our material goods in order to bless others. We're attempting to do this with the cards on the tree for refugees, giving to those in need in response to the grace that we have been given. But we need to keep these actions distinct from what Christmas is really all about. At Christmas, we remember Jesus coming to earth for us, the greatest gift. And our focus should be on worship and bringing him the gift of ourselves. In this Advent season, the story of the wise men presents a charge for us. 900 miles is no short trek, especially with no airplanes. It's like going from Vancouver to Whitehorse. It was a journey that took effort and commitment. And their purpose? To worship. Carolyn Ahrens wrote a song that I have found very meaningful. It poses a good question for us as we consider this journey of the wise men. The song says, "If we close our eyes, can we see the star? Can we find our path in its light? And if we are still, tell me, can we hear the song of the angels tonight? Can we find our way to the baby king? Can we worship him now in the hay? Can we believe he can change everything? Or is Bethlehem too far away? O little town of Bethlehem, how far it must have been from heaven's throne of glory to your humble manger scene. If God saw fit to travel there, should not also we? If we seek him, we will find him in the least expected place. For his kingdom comes in the power and might of his sacrifice and grace. Can we find our way to the baby king? Can we worship him now in the hay? Can we believe he can change everything? Or is Bethlehem too far away?" The wise men saw the star, and they made the effort to take that long journey to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What child is this? He's the one who comes for everyone. He is the King of Kings. He is the one who is worthy of worship by all people. He is the one true Savior of the entire world, bringing the ultimate gift of deliverance and salvation. He is the one worthy to seek and to worship. Our response? To seek him and to offer our lives. The kings had to travel a long way. We too have to make a journey to leave the busyness, the things that we think we may have to do, those gifts we may think we have to buy, the affirmation, the indulgences that we desire. We have to leave those and seek him. As the prophet Jeremiah tells us, "When you search for me, you will find me, if you seek me with all your heart." When we seek him, we find him, and we are to worship him. May we this Advent come and worship. May we seek him, making the effort to bow down, giving him the gift of our lives, laying down our lives at his feet. Will you pray with me? Truly, there is no other Lord and King but you, Jesus. You are the Christ, the promised and present Savior. Through you, the world was made. Salvation comes through you. Through you, all things are sustained. And through you, all things will be restored. Jesus, may we find our way to you this Christmas, seeking and finding and worshiping you, the King of Kings. Give us the courage to get up and leave all the things that are holding us back, to come and seek you. May we fall down, lay our crowns at your feet, praising you for your mercy and love. In Jesus' name, amen. May this eternal truth be always on your hearts, that the God who breathed this world into being is the God who entrusted his Son to the care of ordinary people, became vulnerable that we might know how strong is the wonder of love, a mystery so deep it is impossible to grasp, a mystery so beautiful it is impossible to ignore. Go forth with this mystery in your heart. Amen.